All right, Knights, we got a special guest from us all the way from Australia. Yes, that's right, the future. Because, Peter, you're in tomorrow already, aren't you?
I am in tomorrow. It is 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon.
That's so crazy. Is it true? Are me and Jay famous in the future?
Yes.
All right, you heard it first, Knights. We are famous in the future. This is all I really cared about. We can pack it up, Jay. We're done. We're done. We made it.
Just retire now.
That's right. It's funny when I actually visited Peter. So he's in Australia. I visited him 3 years ago.
2017, I think it was, because I went to Boston that same year.
Okay, so maybe it was four. Or three and a half. Anyway, it was interesting on the flight home. I time traveled to get back. It was kind of weird. I went back a day when I landed. It's kind of an odd sensation.
Yes.
Did you feel like a superhero, Jay?
I felt like Superman when he flew around the Earth to save Lois Lane.
Typical man. Time travel to save a woman. Typical.
Makes no sense. Stopping the Earth would just kill everyone, but we like the effort.
We're excited, Peter. We grew a lot in last year in Canada, so we're hoping to get the Australian market. Another reason why we're tagging you along.
Awesome.
So we're gonna bug you a little bit, right, Jay?
That's right. Well, that's goes without saying.
Exactly. Well, I'm glad I can be here. I'm excited to talk, you know, conventions and nerdy stuff and everything we can talk about. Sounds like fun.
Why don't you give us a quick little preview of Peter Thompson, of who you are?
Well, where to begin? Well, I was born on a nice cold winter's day in...
Not too graphic.
It's cold in Australia? What?
After 13 hours of labor...
Cold for Australia. Like I said, I'm from Australia. I grew up here. Love all things nerdy and stuff. I mean, I work in conventions here. I don't know what it is. There's not really much more that's interesting about me to talk about. So,
here's something I did want to know. How is nerd culture in Australia when you're growing up? Is it access to like a lot of American shows? Do you guys have your own base, or was it common? Did you have to venture out?
It's interesting because, like, I guess as time has gone on, it's kind of adapted and stuff. So we do have now, in particular, we have access to everything because we're so close to Asia. So we do get a lot of the Asian influence as well. Growing up for me back in the 80s and 90s, anime was massive here, and specific like anime shows like Astro Boy, Voltron back then. And so we would watch them on what's the ABC for us. It's different to ABC that you guys have, but ABC for us here in Australia is like the government broadcasting channel or network. And we would get all those anime shows. So we would watch that from that point of view, but then we'd also get a lot of Americanized pop culture stuff, like, you know, DC Comics, Marvel was always here. So we'd have a pretty good hybrid of everything.
That's awesome. Fun fact, just saying about that, Marvel is actually purchased from a Middle Eastern man who is like a famous businessman, and that's who Disney bought it from, because he bought Marvel when it was like really struggling. And then Disney later bought it from him. It's just like the most random thing. He wasn't a nerd or anything else. He just was a really good businessman. It's kind of funny.
He was smart and sold Marvel to Disney for a lot of money, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I know. I wonder if he probably still gets some kickbacks too. That might have been built into the deal.
That would be ideal, especially with the Marvel Studios and the amount of money that they make now.
Money printing machine. Do you, with anime, have you watched any of One Punch Man?
I have. I'm waiting for season three. They take forever in between seasons, but One Punch Man's awesome.
What are they doing?
they know they've got the build. The audience is just captivated. It's, I guess it's one of those things that, you know, when you know you've got the audience, they'll come back if you build them in. The storyline's already there because they've already got all like the actual comics, the manga comics. There's the story's built there. They just got to turn it into the actual animation.
Right. I was going to ask on that same vein, do you watch it subtitled or dubbed?
That's a good question. I'm not so precious. So I will watch it. I will watch it dubbed if it's there, just because I don't have to sit there and concentrate on the show too much.
Right.
Exactly.
I end up watching both. I watch it once subtitled, and then they release the dub version later, and I like watching it again so I can pay more attention to the animation than trying to read.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's I enjoy anime. I mean, I've got four kids, four boys. They're all anime freaks as a result. You know, they watch Crunchyroll all the time, or we have a local streaming service called Anime Lab that they watch as well. So it's that's where most of their time is spent when they watch television.
So before we get too deep into like kind of nerdy passions and stuff, we'll swing back to this. Johnny, did you want to jump into cons first?
If you want to throw it down that hard, we can go to cons easy.
Let's talk a little bit of conventions, because that'll tie into some of our nerd passions too.
Yeah.
What give us a little background into your occupation, because I know you work for Comic Cons.
Yeah, so I'm the sales and partnerships manager for a convention company here in Australia. I won't talk about who they are, just in case I get in trouble for that side of it. But
So I
organize an event for the gaming industry here now, so for video games in the pop culture. And I used to work on an event called Oz Comic Con. We don't do that one anymore. And so my job essentially is to work with all the exhibitors, all the exhibiting companies, all the partners and all the brands that want to like work, go to that event and target, you know, the fandoms that attend. I help them come up with great ideas and creating activations and a way so they can just interact with fans and get the most out of it. So that's essentially my job. It's a fun and frustrating job at the same time is probably the best way to put it, because, you know, fans are fans, you know, they're either really great or they're really bad. I mean, in conventions are, they're a lot of fun. The best part of the job is actually being on site and seeing everything come together. It really is. I guess one of the things I would say, because conventions are fun because they kind of fit into two categories. You've got the San Diego Comic-Cons and New York Comic-Con, which is like these big, all the studios will attend because they have to be there to promote their movies, and all the actors will come because that's part of their contracts to market the movies at these events. And then you've got everyone else.
Are we in that category?
San Diego, New York, or everyone else, essentially. And I fit into the everyone else sector.
Yeah, that's cool, because I remember, because I'll go to cons and I love San Diego Comic-Con. That is a different experience.
Yeah.
But if I was pressed, Anaheim, they have a WonderCon, which is what San Diego was like 8 years ago, which is for the fans. That one is just breathtaking. Like, panels are small. The exhibitors are small. But you feel like that's more nerd haven. Yeah. It's not commercialized.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. And everybody wants to be the San Diego. All the conventions around the world want to be San Diego Comic-Con. They want the film studios to bring all the actors over, and that way they don't have to pay them to be there. It's just not going to happen. I mean, San Diego is its own machine, its own beast. I've never been to San Diego. I would love to go just to see it. I know my understanding, New York's bigger though in terms of total visitation.
It's a little bit bigger. It's not by much. It's like by 2,000 or something. I looked it up. It's
more than that, because my understanding, and I could be wrong, correct me if I'm wrong, San Diego caps their visitation at 135,000 people because they physically can't fit more people into the venue, where New York nearly reached 300,000 last time.
Are you
serious?
Wow.
Yeah, okay, 2019.
The data I was looking at was old then, old, because when I looked at it, it was comparing two numbers and they weren't that far apart.
That would have been years ago then, yeah. Like, I think it was like they reached 285,000 in people attending in 2019. I mean, now's a completely different kettle of fish. But yeah.
Yeah, speaking
it's just
of
easier
that,
in California ahead, for them to go. Like, so a lot of them, like, you'll get more random, like, celebrities, if you will. Because I fanboy hard. I went with industry people, and they're used to it. So I kind of embarrassed them the first time I went, because I was just like, oh, it's a guy from Battlestar Galactica. I'd, like, chase him down, said hi. And he was just walking the exhibit hall. Like, he didn't really care. He was just there to hang out. So you get way more of that at San Diego, just because it's where they live. They're like, oh, I'm a block from there, or I'm shooting something, or my friend is here.
Well, that's the thing with like the conventions for everyone else pile is obviously there's so many conventions out there now. Like, every city pretty much has their own convention around the world. and the visitation, like in terms of like the celebrity guests that they get. Well, so they, the companies will pay a fee for them to come out, and then they would also get money back from doing autographs and photographs and meet and greets and things like that. But there's only a certain number of actors that kind of fit into those, that the genre that they're after. And then like, especially the top tier ones. And when you got places like, and I hate to say, woe is us in Australia, but we're so far away from everyone. And for them to come out here, it's like a week, 2 weeks out of their schedule when they're actually filming other things, you know, they can't take that time. So we don't get the same kind of level guests that you would get in the States, where it's like they go for a weekend. It's a couple of days. They can do it. But then you also get the actors that basically their job now is they were in a show 20 years ago, like Battlestar Galactica. Their entire money for the entire year comes from doing conventions all around the world because they can do that now.
Yeah, Farscape was a big one. I love Farscape. And they literally, that's all they did. A lot of them for like years just went to every con they could, and they made six figures.
Yeah.
Enough for them to like live off of. They would just go to cons, and it's enough that Amazon might pick up their other season. Fingers crossed, because I loved Farscape.
Well, I mean, that was filmed in Australia too.
Yeah. It's funny because like they try to play it off like they were in California, but everyone had accents, and they're like, "Oh, we landed here." And it was just funny.
Yes.
Like the one main actor was from the States. Everyone else was Australian, but it was great. It's one of those like shows I keep telling Jay, survive it and you'll love it. So made in the early 2000s, so the graphics are kind of bad, but it's Jim Henson. It's a Henson production, so the puppets are great.
Yeah. No, it was, I mean, it was good. It was really good. I mean, and I feel like most of that cast went on and ended up going to Stargate afterwards.
Yeah, they're it's all stars. Stargate's still all of them.
Exactly. So, so conventions. They're like I said, they're an interesting thing to work on. They're a lot of fun, but there's also a lot of heartbreak sometimes when things don't go to plan.
Or when a pandemic hits.
Or when a pandemic hits and your entire revenue stream is dried up because hold face-to-face events.
Yeah, what does the future of kind of cons look like? I realize that sorry, Johnny, I'm cutting you off.
No, go.
But every country's different depending on how they've handled cases. I know, and each state is different in the U.S. What does it look like in Australia, and what does it look like for some of the other stuff, projects you might be working on, without sharing too much?
That's all right. I mean, so like I was saying to you guys earlier, Australia has managed COVID reasonably well. We get one new case and they pretty much shut everything. Well, not completely locked down, but, you know, they will manage it in those little kind of like suburbs and areas where no one's allowed to leave that suburb for like 3 or 4 days until they're able to like make sure there's no transmissions. And so we're doing really well here. We go like months without any new cases coming. It also is a benefit because Australia is like, we're a continent, but we're also an island nation where we can manage our borders a lot easier and stop people from coming in and out. So we can control cases as well. So as a result, you know, the government's allowing us to start having events later this year. So conventions are able to start running again this year, which we're very excited about. Like the gaming event that I work on will be in October sometime. I can't give the dates because they haven't been announced yet. Mm-hmm. But I can say it will be in October here in Australia. And then I think there's plans as well for some of the cons here to start in March. They can't get any of the big celebrity guests here, but they are going to run them without them, from what I've heard too, which is exciting as well because it gives an opportunity for the fans to kind of like get together, some of the vendors as well that may have struggled through the pandemic. There gives an opportunity to start selling to some of them, so to the fans, and fans can pick up stuff that they weren't able to get that Amazon doesn't carry or anything like that. So yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, I was gonna try to, as you said, celebrities. I'm gonna poke you a little bit. Who is like the coolest one that you fanboy about, if you're allowed to say? Is there one that you were like, I'm so glad I'm working here. I have an excuse to say hi to so-and-so. It could even be a deep cut because we love deep cuts.
I'm trying to think back. There's a few. I won't say some of them because my wife will kill me because she's too pretty for me to have said that. Actually, meeting Robert Patrick was really cool. For like, because he was like, you know, growing up Terminator 2, he's like, yeah. you know, And he's been in so much stuff, but he was really cool to meet. He was a really nice guy. Trying to think of anyone else that was like Christian Kane was a really cool guy as well. You know, he's in Leverage and Buffy and Angel and stuff. So he was really nice as well. Like he was
he's a big musician too. Like he's a cool guy.
He did like a mini concert and stuff at the convention as well, which was really cool. And there have been some divas as well. I won't mention names, but there was, there was like some of them you could tell that they just didn't want to be there.
Oh, really?
Deal with all these nerds?
Like I remember going up, because I have some friends of mine that came along to one of the conventions and she's a cosplayer, but she was really excited to meet this one person because she cosplays as that person, that's character all the time. And so I managed to get an autograph and a photograph and stuff with them for her. And she went up to meet them and they were like, oh, thanks for coming out. We really appreciate you coming here. The actress was like, yep. And then when they get the photo, like, most people will stick their arm around the actor or actresses in the photo. And she just stood there really still like this, not moving. It was like, if you don't want to be here, why did you say you would come? Yeah.
Right.
That's funny. Just because I'm a huge fan of, I was the only one ever watched it here. It's called Legend of the Seeker. It was filmed out there. And I just watched their cons and their panels and everyone would dress as the Lord Sith. And the main lady from it was really like rude to everybody. And they would always comment like, oh, waited 2 hours to meet her and she wasn't happy. And she's not even that big. I mean, as far as for us. And I was like, wow. Just assume they'd all be happy to have fans because it wasn't that big of a show.
Yeah. It's surprising. Like, even some of the smaller name actors are really stuck up. Like, they think they're more important than they really are. But then you get some of, like, the big guys. Like, Jason Momoa. Oh, you hear a lot of, like, stories both ways. But he was really cool when I met him.
Oh, so there you go. See, there you go. That's a big name.
Yeah.
And is he from New Zealand, too?
No, he's Hawaiian, I think.
Okay. Just because we talked about his father in Aquaman is from New Zealand. So I just wanted to check.
Well, he came out here once for Oz Comic Con in Sydney, and it was just before he got Aquaman. And he was coming because he was in Stargate Atlantis and stuff, and all the fans, like the rumors was that he was going to be Aquaman. And you knew he was going to be by his reaction when he gets asked in those panels. He's like, so the rumors you're going to be Aquaman. He's like, next question. You just will ignore it completely. You're like, yeah, that's not a no, so therefore it's right, yes.
That's awesome. It's cool when they're down to earth like that, especially some of these huge ones where, you know, they, I don't know. You hear it about some of them. The other ones, it's like, it's an interesting kind of, it's almost like a paradox or, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And then when they do come out, it is long. It's hard for them sometimes as well, especially like coming to Australia. I mean, because we are so far away from everything, but they're flying from LA to Australia. We are a day ahead. So they are so jet lagged when they get here, and then they pretty much land like on the Thursday, and then the Saturday morning they have to be ready to go, and they're like such long days. I think they get on site at the event at the convention at like 8 o'clock in the morning, and they won't leave until like 7 o'clock at night, and they've got to be on the entire time, and sometimes it's really hard. And I've heard stories about the way that some of the fans will treat them. And it's got to be hard for them to be so cool all the time as well. Like the fans are just really full on.
Oh, yeah.
Is the best way to put it. There's some stories I've heard them where they try to slip them photos of themselves and it's not cool.
It's not surprising though. I feel like that's kind of stuff you hear about, or like it just kind of comes after a certain level of getting big. You just kind of have these worse than trolls, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, and some of the fans, like, they meet them once and they feel like they're their best friends with them all of a sudden, you know? And it's like, because you hear those nightmare stories of like being stalked, like the actors being stalked and stuff. And that's just because they were nice to them once at a convention. So therefore now we're best friends and we're dating, and that's the nightmare side of it. But, you know, but all in all, like the fans are great. And like most of the actors that come out there, because they are really cool and a lot of fun. Like I met Joe Manganiello once and he was really cool, talking about D&D and stuff. I mean, I don't play too much D&D, but he's really into it. And he was like, yeah, he had a lot of fun when he was out here. So, yeah.
He plays Slade Wilson, right? In the DC
universe. Yes, in the DC movies, yeah.
Not to be mistaken with Deadpool or Wade Wilson. He's a. I hate that. Their names are so close.
I thought you were going to say he's your favorite Magic Mike guy there for a minute, Jay.
Oh. Yeah, no.
Favorite werewolf from True Blood.
Yeah. Like how you went straight to DC to make sure no one makes fun of you.
Exactly.
Hence the Batman t-shirt.
They were all thinking it, Johnny. You didn't have to say it.
I keep telling Jay, like, the coolest thing about for me for conventions, and you're in a place where you can throw a rock and like hit anyone that you will automatically can be best friends with about any subject because they're nerding out as hard as you. Like, what I noticed.
One of the things I love about certain conventions, especially like, I'm going to name an event now, PAX. Have you ever been to PAX?
Yeah. I've never been. I know what it is, though. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, they've got this, when you any PAX around the world, when you first walk in, they've got this massive sign that says "Welcome Home" on it. I love that because it is like it's a home away from home, essentially, where you can go meet people you don't know, like other fans, and you've all got the same interest, and you can just talk about gaming or whatever it is. And yeah, it is the greatest opportunity to meet like-minded people, not be judged for liking some obscure game or TV show or movie that no one in your family would have ever heard of or would ever watch or play. But yeah.
Yeah, because I was at the Farscape panel because they had their 20th anniversary at Comic-Con, and it was in a smaller room, but everyone waiting in that line was there to see them. So no matter what, you just talk to everyone and it'll be like, oh, it was on Netflix. Did your friends watch it? And you get so excited.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's the thing. And then, that's the best part, I think, of a lot of conventions is you wait in lines for hours for things, but the community you kind of build while you're waiting in lines talking to everyone about that one thing, the one obscure thing that you've never would talk to anybody else in your real life about.
So does it – go ahead.
I was going to say, and in a lot of cases, you know, like you have lasting friendships because every year when you go back, you see the same people and you're talking about the same thing. So it becomes a yearly ritual a lot of times.
That's awesome. I was just going to ask, is there anything that's like that working at cons has kind of ruined some of nerdom for you? Like, are there any things like that? Anything that's kind of like you have a different take on it or it's kind of skewed your perception even?
Oh, not so much of like the fandoms. It has made me a lot more jaded a little bit, especially with social media in particular. Because there are certain fan groups that we would normally like monitor because like they're the hardcore fan groups that they're on Facebook and Instagram and stuff where they would post a lot of things. And when you get called not so nice names quite often because you weren't able to bring that one celebrity that they absolutely love without them understanding the background of how you bring the celebrities over, or they didn't have as much fun at this year's convention because we didn't have that one thing that they loved from 5 years ago that was there. You know, it does kind of just wish you just stopped trying and you just wish you could punch that person in the face if you ever met them face to face. But, you know, that's the kind of stuff that does ruin it. But at the same time, like I said, the being on site at the events is the best. It's the best part of the job. It really is, because when you're at the con and everything does come together, it is so much fun, and you get to see how much fun people really do have. I remember standing there once, and a lot of our fans, some of them like suffer from high anxiety and they're very introverted, but I saw a girl once, she got to meet a celebrity that she loves from some show. I don't remember who it was particularly, but when she was trying to buy the token, she couldn't get the words out. But when I helped her go and find the celebrity, find out what she had to do. And she was beaming ear to ear, you know, smiling so brightly because she got to meet this guy. And yeah, that's stuff like that makes it worth it.
Yeah, that's awesome. I was going to say, I was able to go to Comic-Con for a couple of years in a row, and there's the Arrow panel. It's a CW show. And there was the same girl who went 3 years in a row, and she had like the first time was a Make-A-Wish. He's going through cancer. And the main actor guy, Arrow, what was his name?
Stephen Amell.
Yeah, Amell. One of the Amells. And he, like, every year he would give her a gift. And if she came back with that gift, he'd give her another one. So at the very end, like, every 3 years he remembered her. She'd always ask a question. And the very last time, like, there wasn't a dry face. Like, everyone was just crying. It was just so pretty. And he gave her, like, his whole outfit. And the last one that he had from the last filming. So it's really cool to see, like, the camaraderie. Even, like, they go every year just for the one fan.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I'll use one of my kids as well, because he's a huge Arrow fan as well. Mm-hmm. And Stephen Amell came out for a convention, and I took him because he really wanted to meet Stephen Amell. He had no idea. This was the first time he ever went. What year was that? That would have been 2018. So, yeah, like 3 years ago now, I mm-hmm. took him to see him. And we waited in line for like 2 hours because there was so many people going to see him when he came out here. And my son was bored to tears. It was his first convention. The first thing we did was line up. He was like, oh, I can't believe it. But as soon as he met Stephen, and he was such a nice guy in terms of, like, he spoke to my son. Yeah, what are you enjoying? What do you like? And it was like, that was the cruelest thing ever. Mm-hmm. That was his exact words afterwards after he met him. So, yeah, he's a really nice guy.
So how long, if we can detail here while we have him, because I'm really big into cons, how long would it take you to put one together? Like, do you guys have to plan 3 months in advance, 5 months? Because they are a big deal. Like, they're not easy.
It depends. It depends. I guess my son, he just got home from school. It depends on how big the convention is. Because, like, some of the smaller ones you can put together in 3 months.
Oh, wow. That's a small one.
Yeah. So the big ones will take you 12 months to put together.
Jeez. That's crazy.
Yeah. Because, I mean, between the content side of it and all the content that you have to do, because that'll take working with all the different people and brands, it'll take them that long to be able to do some, like, especially from like a pop culture convention side, getting the celebrity guests, it'll be years before you could be working on a deal with them for 2 years before they actually agree to come out, because it all comes down to their schedule, if they're filming something at a specific time of year when you've got the convention on, you know. Yeah. And then from other, like, gaming conventions and stuff, yeah, it's a 12-month period because you need to work out what games have got coming out, all that kind of stuff, before you know what content you're going to have. And from, like, a partnership stuff, it's a big jigsaw puzzle trying to work out a floor plan. Where do you put everyone? You put this person, you're going to put this one, we can't put them next to them because that's they don't want to be next to each other. They don't like each other. So, yeah, it's a lot of work.
Well, even at, like, San Diego Comic-Con, like, Marvel and DC were never like that. They're almost at opposite ends every time.
Yeah,
that was smart, because that way you don't get the biggest two together to crowd it. So it's also for spatial reasoning too. They would do it just to flow better in the hallway.
Exactly. I mean, that's a big thing. Flow is a really big thing. Because you don't want everyone just stuck in the one spot. Because they've got something. Both of them have got something going at the same time when they're booths. Mm-hmm. Everyone just standing in the aisleway, which is also a fire hazard.
There was a few years back, the director of Suicide Squad said, F Marvel, like, at a Comic-Con. And yeah, you don't want to do that if you're right next to Marvel, because you'll just get in fights and the fans will go at it, even though, you know, they're all friends.
Well, that's a big question. DC versus Marvel, where do you guys see it?
Johnny?
Me and Jay, we nerd out hard. Like, we love both. There's, like, I see MCU winning a lot more than DC movies, but I love the DC shows way more. TV.
Yep.
DC kills it. Comics-wise, sometimes I lean a little more DC. They have way, it's heavy. It's, you know, we can read it forever, right, Jay?
Right.
So in the comics, I like how DC reboot every few years. Mm-hmm. So the one from New 52 to Rebirth, I mean, there's just so much. I mean, they've got benefits for both. You're right. I mean, I like them both too. It's always interesting to see people that don't know, like, the Justice League and how powerful they really are, especially in the comics and stuff, who would win in a fight, Avengers versus Justice League, and the kids that have only seen the movies. Oh, the Avengers will, because the DC movies aren't very good.
Just let the Green Lantern think of literally anything and he'll destroy half of you guys.
It's like, what is it, DC is gods among us, you know? Like, that's kind of the whole thing, whereas Marvel, it's like humans who are trying to be gods, with the exception of Thor. I would say Thor's the one exception, but everyone else, it's like,
it's what you call magic.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Like, yeah, no, it's like Superman can lift an island out of the ocean, or he can, I don't know, in the comics, he's
well, he's doing, it depends on which version of Superman, too. Yeah.
Right.
So, anyway.
Yeah, as you see, we love to go off on our very tangents. First ever podcast was me and Jay talking about the mini Robins. So Our knowledge does not stop.
That's good. I have to say this as a shameless plug. So I prefer the comics and cartoons and shows, all DC, movies, MCU. Obviously, they get better directors. Kevin Feige's ridiculously good. Same with Jon Favreau. And I don't know what's going on over. I don't know what's going on over at Warner Brothers, but their movies suck. Not all of them, but most of them.
Well, controversial. I've got a controversial opinion. So I think, so the DC movies, they I don't think they suck. I think they're okay. They're not great, but they're okay. I just think because like Marvel's got Kevin Feige, basically is the mastermind around the entire MCU, and he keeps everything together. They're allowed to have separate movies, but they all kind of come into the one storyline. Mm-hmm. I don't think, you know, Zack Snyder was kind of that, but he really wasn't. So they didn't really have that one plan. I think they hit Justice League too early, and Batman vs. Superman should have been two movies. If it was two movies, it would have been better instead of trying to fit everything all into one. Like if they did a Batman movie where, okay, Superman's just destroyed a city with his fight with Zod, and how do I deal with it? Like that should have been one movie in its own. How does Batman reconcile in his own mind the fact that they've got these godlike people that just destroyed a city and he's fighting criminals at this level versus, you know, and then it should have been him going after Superman and making that decision at the end of the first movie. That's what I think should have happened. I'm probably wrong because I'm not a filmmaker, but
we're fans, so we're right.
We're always right. That's right.
Say this. As much as I say it, they suck, and yet here I love Shazam just as much as any Marvel movie. Same with Aquaman. Same with Man of Steel. Batman versus Superman, not so much. Suicide Squad, I don't
the first
like.
Wonder Woman, we love the first Wonder
Unreal.
Woman.
Unreal. It's better than most Marvel movies to me. I love the first Wonder Woman. The second one, and I think that's the problem. I just watched the second Wonder Woman and thought it was terrible.
So I actually enjoyed it. I just watched it as well. And I thought it was okay. It wasn't like on the same level as the first Wonder Woman movie, but I still enjoyed it from just a pure entertainment point of view. I thought it was good. I mean, there's a lot that didn't make sense. But like why did when they brought him back did he have to go into someone else's body? But
right. And why does Cheetah Girl get two wishes and what, you know, I don't know. There's a lot. As I was watching the movie for the first time, I was picking stuff apart like, "Oh man. This really like you had an extra year and you didn't flesh this stuff out." So that's my frustration and my expectations were Patty Jenkins was going to have a 9 out of 10 movie and for me it was like a 5 out of 10. So I think that made it even worse, you know.
I find with the especially with the DC movies because I am more of a DC fan than Marvel. I love the Marvel comics and stuff. I mean, growing up in the 90s and stuff, like the X-Men comics were amazing then, and I used to collect the X-Men comics and stuff. But I am a huge DC fan, and so my typical reaction is I like the movie the first time I watch it. And then I watch it a second time, and that's when I start picking up. And it's just the fanboy and me going, "Oh, Superman and Batman on the screen together!" and then the more I watch them, you know, like I was like that with the Suicide Squad. You know, I thought the first time I watched it was actually pretty good. And then the second time I was like, "Ooh, maybe not so good."
Enchantress.
yeah, but it essentially is like I said, it's just me being the fanboy that I am, just going, "Oh, it's so great that they're there." Because, you know, as a kid, like back in the 90s, I would have loved to have like movies like that, would have loved it.
Yeah, I think it was, could have been like late 90s because I was telling Jay, like, a lot of these people are like confused about WandaVision and so the Scarlet Witch. And I was like, if you're a true Marvel fan, you know how powerful she is, she created her own universe. Because it's my favorite cover. I'm a huge Cap fan, me and JR. I have this one I purposely bought. She's making out with Captain America. Nothing to do with it, but the cover is her with Cap because she made her own universe and she wanted to date him. And I was like, see, that's how powerful she is.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like you go to the House of M storyline and stuff like that, and it's just insane. Some of the stuff that she can do. Like, I think, is it Kevin Feige? I saw an interview he did that, you know, originally she was the one that was supposed to kill Thanos in Endgame. But then they ended up changing it around and stuff like that. So it's really is insane how powerful she is. And it'll be interesting to see how they take that into that. Because I'm not completely up to date with WandaVision. I've seen the first two episodes, but I've just got to sit and watch them. I kind of want to just like watch them back to back. So I've kind of let it go so I can just binge the whole thing.
That's what I do.
Yeah, and yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they go because there's a lot of potential spoilers or gossip out there, what where fans think it's is going to go with, like, you know, Doctor Strange and trying to piece it all back together. Are they going to bring in the Spider-Man to the next Spider-Man movie? So they'll have Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire into the next Spider-Man movie or not? Who knows? Maybe, yes. There's rumors saying that they've signed on. People have said, no, they're not going to be in there. We don't want fans to know just yet.
It's kind of what DC was doing with the Batmans. They're like, oh, yeah, we're going to bring back Keaton. Oh, we're bringing back this. And we're all getting excited. And we don't even know how they could just be like a 2-second cameo, but we're excited about it. We don't care how you do it. Flashpoint, fix it. That's all we're saying.
Yeah. That would be awesome. Because, I mean, once again, like the Flash, because it was supposed to be the Flash and Cyborg movie. Yeah. Now it's just the Flash movie. Who knows?
I was going to say, so I don't own too many comic books. We kind of brought that up. But I did want to tell you, I own the full original run of Booster Gold.
first run.
Yep. Like from like the 80s. I own his first bits. So I thought you'd get a kick out of that. Because I know you.
That's cool.
Yeah. Well, Chris, our mutual friend, Chris, has said that like.
Master of death.
You're aware that Booster Gold is like a total schmuck. Like he's really annoying, gets on everyone's nerves. I joke that he's like the superhero version of Johnny Bravo. Like if Johnny Bravo were to gain superpowers, it'd be Booster Gold, you know, like trying to hit on the ladies and they all hate it and he's kind of asleep. There's something about Booster Gold.
Booster Gold.
Exactly. So I saw his comic run on eBay and I was like, huh, I'll buy it. So I thought you'd get a kick out of that. I have a few others. Yeah.
That's gonna be the best investment you've ever made.
When he gets a movie, I'm sure that it'll, if he ever does, you know. Dude,
Amazon's gonna pick his series and it's gonna be amazing and you're gonna be laughing at us.
I know. my comic book run will be worth a ton of money then.
Be like that guy that just sold The Walking Dead first run, like right before the TV show got picked up, and you're like, oh,
should have waited 6 months.
Seriously.
Yes. That's the thing. I don't know how the comic books, I mean, I don't have any of the comic books I had back in the 90s, and I wish I still did. Because I'd be interested to see what they do next, what the next phase is, and what storylines they kind of follow, like Marvel in particular. Because I know in the comics in the 90s, post-Infinity War, there was like a bunch of other Infinity comic books that came out, like Infinity Crusade. And I had the six-issue run of that in the 90s. I don't have them anymore. My brother probably has them hidden in his house somewhere, but... Yeah, I'd be interested to see where they go next with all the storylines and stuff.
Yeah, they're at a jumping off point, an inflection point. It'll be interesting to see where it kind of goes. What else do you like besides superheroes, if you don't mind me asking? What are some of your other nerd passions?
I'm a huge basketball fan, but that doesn't kind of fit into this.
No, it fits.
Nah, we played ball growing up, so we know basketball well.
And you have nerds in basketball, you know, it's all just passion.
Well, that's right. I mean gaming, because I mean I talk gaming every day for work as well. So I mean I'm really into gaming as well. Having said that though, because I've got four boys, I never actually get to play any games anymore. I think the last game. Trying to think of what was the last game I actually sat down and played fully. And this is a long time ago. God of War, the last God of War was the last game I played. Like just sat down and just played the entire thing. I've dabbled at things here and there. Like I played Squadrons, like Star Wars Squadrons. And Star Wars, I'm a huge Star Wars fan. I love Star Wars.
Have you played any of Skyrim?
No, I'm not. I never played Skyrim. The guys at Bethesda will kill me for saying that, but I've never played Skyrim.
We're about to kill you. What the heck?
Out of PAX, it's like saying DC's horrible.
Yeah, no, it's not that I don't like playing. I've just never sat down and played. I do admit I have a pretty short attention span when it comes to games. Like I'll sit there for like 45 minutes to a half an hour, or like to an hour or so, and after that I'm pretty much done for the night. I just don't want to. I'm not the kind of gamer that would sit there for 8 hours playing World of Warcraft or anything like that.
For days.
Yeah.
We didn't do that on Skyrim at all, right?
Not that I've done that, yeah.
We didn't lose time on Skyrim or anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you were saying you like Star Wars. Well, before we berate you too much on Skyrim, let's switch back to Star Wars.
Yep. Well, I mean, I love Star Wars. I'm in that age group that kind of grew up watching it, like the originals. I remember I was would have been about 4 years old going to see Return of the Jedi in the theater. I don't remember everything about seeing the movie. Or the one memory I have is getting, you know, when you go to the cinema and you buy the popcorn and the drink and you get that commemorative cup that comes with it. I remember that commemorative cup that I had. But I spend probably way too much time with the emergence of like Netflix and Amazon Prime Video and all that, Hulu. There's just too much content for me now. So I spend way too much time watching television and movies, more time than I should be. But at the same time, it's for work. So I have to do it.
Right. Oh, yeah, totally.
Me and Jay have to review a show for the podcast. We don't want to watch WandaVision. Yeah,
it's part of the job. You know, that's what we do. Yeah.
What do you think of the sequel trilogy? And I should just ask, what do you think of Disney Star Wars so far in general?
I'm not a hater. I don't hate what they've done. It's not perfect. Like, there are missed opportunities as far as I'm concerned in some of them. Like in the second one, I can't remember what it's called these days.
The Last Jedi.
The Last Jedi. Like, the whole casino planet thing doesn't make sense. But I don't think they're terrible either. I think they're actually worth watching, and I actually enjoyed them. I think they could do more character development around Rey and Finn and stuff like that, but they weren't bad either. They were actually pretty good.
Right.
Yeah, totally. If you go into those movies just to enjoy it, you won't get out sad. Like, if you go just to enjoy a movie.
I think the because I was in the Philippines when The Phantom Menace came out. And so I didn't see The Phantom Menace for a year after it came out because I was serving a mission for the Mormon Church at the time. And when I came home, my brother was telling me how he went, and he went like the midnight screening of The Phantom Menace when it first came out. It was like, no, was it 1999, 98, something like that?
Yeah.
And he said, yeah, he was saying it was midnight session. Everyone was all dressed up. Everyone was excited. And there was this one guy in the front row when – someone gets shot. He goes, no, that's a K-53 blaster. That can't shoot that far. And I'm like, dude, to me, that exemplifies what's exactly wrong with the entire Star Wars fandom is they know better because they've read comic books and books and they think they know better. It's a movie. Enjoy it for what it is. Yeah. It's there to build upon a world that you loved as a kid. Yeah, it's not exactly the same, but it's not supposed to be exactly the same as when you were a kid. And you're never going to get the nostalgia hit from like when you were five because your world perception is different now. So from an enjoyment point of view, I sat down, I liked it. Like Kylo Ren, yeah, he was a bit of a whinging bitch sometimes, but he is what it is. I mean, he was, he's a product of his environment. And I enjoyed it. I like the idea of the hilted lightsaber and
Have you finished Mandalorian yet? And what did you
think? I have finished The Mandalorian. I was one of those people when Luke came out. I was like, oh, no!
It's
Luke!
It's him!
I rewound it and watched it again and again, like the whole the going down and seeing how cool he was, you know, destroying the Death Troopers.
Blocking behind his back as he's going down the hallway. I thought that was sick.
That was pretty cool. That was really cool. And, I mean, I remember afterwards when Mark Hamill was like, I was so surprised that nobody knew about this, that it didn't get out. I was like, that's really cool that they kept it a secret for as long as they did, because he did it like a year ago. He did like the voiceover work for it a year ago. Yeah. The fact that it was kept secret for so long was really cool, because in this day and age with social media and everything, everything gets leaked. Yeah. And so you know what's happening, you know, months in advance when it comes out, so you there's no surprises anymore.
But Luke was a surprise.
One thing fans did the for Endgame is everyone was quiet for like a weekend until you watched the movie. Star Wars, I feel like they didn't do it as much, but at least Marvel, I do really remember not having to worry about not being on social media because they asked everyone just to mute it, and they did. And it was one of the best movies experience I've had was watching Endgame, just enjoying the crowd.
It's one of those things. that, yeah, you just don't get that anymore because there's so many spoilers. As soon as a movie comes out or a show comes out, or even like, you know, we saw this actor was on set for this time, so he must be in the movie now. You know, he's just there visiting a friend, you know. Yeah. Like everybody in that kind of fandom knows each other. And so, yeah, like Kevin Smith visiting John Favreau because they're friends or something like that. And everyone's like, Kevin Smith's now writing for The Mandalorian. Is he though?
So yeah,
even trailers spoil things now. Like they just got to be careful.
Oh, the whole movie in the trailer is my biggest pet peeve with Hollywood.
I knew if I dropped that, it would trigger Jay.
Sorry, yeah, no, that was.
Well, it is because like the one thing I hate about trailers is they have scenes in the movie, in the trailer that aren't in the movie. Like I hated that with Infinity War where like they're in Wakanda fighting and you got the Hulk running down there. That didn't happen in the movie. So they either do it because they know it's going to throw people off, or they do it and then change the movie halfway through.
I have a complaint of like Batman versus Superman. They showed that Doomsday was in the movie, and I was like, this is like the end of the movie. So I know that Batman and Superman are going to reconcile. That sucks. I don't want to know that until it actually happens.
That is true.
That kind of stuff drives me insane. Don't show me clips from the end of the movie. Show me the first like 2 minutes of the movie, and that's cool. But yeah.
Yes. Or there's things like the other things that like are pinnacle, like they're important to the storyline, and they cut them out of the movie because it's running for too long. Like we only want it to be 2 hours, but the hour's three hours right now. So we cut out an entire hour of important information, and so the movie's just very chopped and changed.
Speaking of movies, what are you most looking forward to in terms of movies and shows now that everything's been delayed and we've got a huge amount of backlog stuff coming forward? Yeah, what are some of the ones you're most looking forward to?
That's a good question. I think, you know, next Suicide Squad movie, James Gunn did it. It looks like the trailers I've seen look really good, and I'm hoping it can kind of get DC movies back on track a little bit. Because DC, like the Warner Brothers, kind of seem to, how do I put this nicely? They kind of fly by the seat of their pants a little bit. They don't have a long-term plan. They start putting together a long-term plan, and then a movie doesn't do as well as they would like. And so like, all right, we're scrapping that long-term plan now. Yeah.
And they get involved with directors. They have, you know, like the first Suicide Squad, they changed a bunch of stuff on the director. The studio gets involved and kind of castrates the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to all like the Marvel stuff. I mean, Falcon and Winter Soldier comes out in March next month.
I think so.
That looks pretty good. Black Widow will come out in what, May, I think. That looks like it'll be a good movie as well, because it's less superhero-y if it's a superhero movie, but it's like, because none of them actually have superpowers, so.
It's like Winter Soldier for Captain America, like a spy thriller that has Marvel people in it.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a few things I'm looking forward to. And I think there's the Marvel in particular, because they do really well at launching lesser-known characters. Because you look at Guardians of the Galaxy, not many people knew who those characters were. But they've turned them into these big-time characters now. So I'm looking to see what they do with some of them, like the Eternals and I'm going to pronounce it wrong, the Kung Fu one, Shang Tzu or something like that.
Legend of something, yeah.
Yeah, that one, I think that'll be a really good movie if they're done right, those movies are done right. So, yeah.
Are you a fan of Dune?
No. I'm not a fan. I mean, I probably will be if the movie's good and I watch it. I'll go see it. Because I don't think I've ever seen the movie from the 80s. It was the 80s, I think it was, and I've never read the books. When it comes to turning making a movie from a book, I'm kind of like on the fence with that one, because there've been some really good movies come from books, and there've been some really bad ones. Like I wasn't really much of a reader until about 15 years ago. A guy I work with, he had someone gave him this book, and he was like, I don't read, I don't want it. He gave it to me. I didn't read a whole lot then. It was Eragon by Christopher Paolini. And I read it and I loved it. I mean, it was a very simple book, and actually kind of got me into reading. So I read a lot more now. But then they turned that book into a movie. I don't know if you've ever seen it. It is the biggest piece of trash I've ever watched.
Jay's ranted very much about it.
We've had a whole,
like, it's a good book and a decent storyline. He was 15 when he wrote the book, and he was criticized a lot because it leans very heavily on influences from Star Wars and Lord of the Rings when you're 15 years old, because that's the kind of stuff he was into. But it was still a really good book. I really enjoyed it. It actually got me into reading books like novels again. But yeah, the movie was just a hot piece of garbage. It was so bad and had really good actors in it. That's the problem. Like Jeremy Irons, amazing actor.
Yeah.
But even he couldn't save it.
Did he play Alfred in?
Yeah, he's
the DC movies. Yeah, he's Alfred.
The new ones. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, he plays the father, or I don't know if
he plays figure. the father of the figure. Yeah, yeah. And John Malkovich was like the big bad. He was only in the movie for like a little bit,
but still, that's a huge name.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, like actor. I mean. You can't – that's the thing. No matter how good of an actor you are, you can't fix bad writing. And you look at the last Fantastic Four movie. Had some really good actors in that.
Oh, yeah. Michael B. Jordan's in it. They're all in it. Like, it's just all big names.
But you can't fix how bad the writing is.
You can just
deliver it as best as you possibly can.
Yeah, the Disney bought all of Marvel, and I'm hoping they do Fantastic Four justice. That's the one that never got a proper due. Because then, you know, Spider-Man got here and there, X-Men no one loved, but they, no matter what, each franchise at least had one movie that you can be like, okay, that was good. But Fantastic Four is just not delivered on any of them.
Yeah, I, once again, from an entertainment point of view, the first Fantastic Four movie with Jessica Alba and Michael Chiklis and Chris Evans, it wasn't great, but it was pure entertainment. You could sit and watch it and you'd be entertained. But the second one with the Silver Surfer was a bit...
And they changed Storm so quickly. You're like, wait, how is she like this now? Like, they just tried to make her more comic book looking.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, there's like... Once again, the studio gets involved, yeah, they try to... And I think... Who was it? I can't remember who said it. It was Joel Schumacher, I think, who said with the Batman movies back in the 90s, essentially just became a big trailer for toy sales, the big ad for toy sales. Mm-hmm. That's essentially what it was. And that's what happens is because they make the money from toy sales.
Yeah, Mattel just takes over.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and the money they make from that outweighs the amount of money they would have made from the box office. So, and that's what the Batman, like Batman and Robin and Batman Forever, I think that's what they turned them into. Yeah,
cartoony.
Those movies are so bad.
Yeah, but when you...
One worse than the other.
They are terrible, but if you're a 9-year-old that loves Batman...
I loved it as a kid, yeah.
They're amazing.
Yeah.
They're Arnold amazing.
Schwarzenegger Batman playing Mr. hockey? Freeze. That was cool, yeah.
Yeah, and essentially just
into a hockey rink.
Well, and it turns into a toy sale because then they've got like 20 different versions of the Batman from that movie, one with hockey skates on, and one, you know, with a special laser to Robin claws out, and you know, it's all that's what it turns into them, and that's where they make their money. Like DC, Warner Brothers make their money from that. So, and then as a parent too, you know, you look at Batman 1989 with Michael Keaton and Batman Returns, and how dark they are, and you're like. Yeah. I really want to let my kids see that.
Yeah, Batman Returns is very, very dark. I remember watching it as a kid and I couldn't really watch it. And I was like, why is this penguin so creepy? He had a bad childhood.
Yeah, why did he bite his nose?
Yeah, this is so weird.
I watched that as a little kid and I was like, ah!
Yeah, the Catwoman turns into this. And you're like, what is this? This isn't my toy that I want to play with.
But now there, I mean, like, as you get older, you appreciate them all because they were really good movies.
Yeah.
You've gone from like me growing up, like before 1989 Batman, like Tim Burton, and that's probably why they were so dark because it's Tim Burton. Mm-hmm. But the only Batman you had on TV before that was Adam West, yeah. Like very campy, mm-hmm. runs like this.
Yeah.
Sammy Davis Jr. head popping you out as they're climbing up a wall, you know, that kind of stuff.
On that same note of kind of these different Batmans, there was a lot of backlash with Batman versus Superman because Batman was just kind of like manslaughtering, killing people in the background. So a lot of fans hated that. They were like, that breaks his rules. And a comedy group on YouTube went back to the the Michael Keaton versions, and they're like, this guy's a serial killer. Like, they show scenes where he's like putting bombs on people and they're blowing up in the background and he's like smiling at it. Like,
see, I like the Ben Affleck Batman, because I kind of felt that he was closer to a comic version than Christian Bale was.
Oh, yeah. He's my favorite Batman. He's my favorite Batman. He's the figure. He's got the chin, kind of his demeanor, and even just like his movements, the short horns. There was so much to that where they like did such a good job copying the comics, but the story overall struggled.
Batman.
That fight scene where he saves Martha Kent is I loved that. That for the entire movie, that was like, oh, that's awesome.
They also put that in the trailer, which was really a big mistake, because I knew it was coming.
Yeah, that was a mistake, putting that in the trailer. It made it got you excited for that scene, for the movie, and that's what the trailer essentially is supposed to do. It's supposed to build people's other expectations, but you can't build people's expectations so high that that's the best part of the entire movie. You've already seen it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, I love that warehouse scene, though, because they're – you know, in all the other films, Batman always fights people maybe one-on-one or one-on-two. You've never had it before where he's got five guys coming at him and he's blocking from different angles and he's taking them out one by one methodically. That's the best. I would say it's even better than most Marvel action, if not, like, in my top three of all superhero scenes in terms of action.
Oh, yeah, Captain America in the elevator. Still the best one ever.
the thing is, I mean, and then what they haven't really been able to show is how smart Batman really is in terms of tactically.
Yeah.
Can like, and I think that's something that they hope that they will do something along the line. I doubt they will with the Robert Pattinson Batman, because he's like a super genius. He's like not building stuff like Tony Stark kind of, you know, I can build an Iron Man suit, but he's smart in the fact that he knows how to break you down and tactically he will be able to beat you, or he's a detective where he can do that. They've never been able to really showcase that properly.
The world's greatest detective. He's very deductive, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
He's like Sherlock Holmes is how some people compare him, especially in the comics. I don't know. I'm sure you have something to that.
Well, the Benedict Cumberbatch movie that they, a TV show they did with Sherlock, and they showed his how to deduce stuff really well. Why can't they do that with Batman? You know, showing that he's able to deduce, all right, you're like this. I mean, they wouldn't do it for this because they were trying to build a world at the time, but, you know, the whole Batman versus Superman fight in Batman Returns, you know, where he beats the snot out of Superman and just to prove that he could beat him, you know. I mean, why couldn't have they done something like that? I mean, because Batman, they kind of started building it, but they worked out how he worked out how to beat Superman, but they never really got there. And the whole Martha,
yeah,
what did you say?
Why did they could have done better. Is all I'm saying.
Absolutely. Well, I know. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, to my point that I made earlier, if they turned that movie into two movies, they would have been able to flesh it out more. But it's too late now.
Or is it Flashpoint? Hint, hint.
Well, yes. Or I'll be interested to see the Zack Snyder cut for Justice League when that comes out. That's next month. That's something I'm very looking forward to, because it's like what's supposed to be like six episodes long or something like that.
Yeah, it's like 45 minutes of actual footage, right? But in a movie, that's a big deal. In a movie, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
What do you mean, Johnny? Like in terms of new stuff?
No, like like the cutscenes and stuff. Like, it's 45 minutes worth of a movie that's already 2 hours long.
Gotcha. Yeah. I know that he said that his new movie won't use any of
Joss Whedon stuff.
Thank you, Joss Whedon. Yeah. Yeah.
So at least it'll be succinct with the same color, not two different colors in a movie.
Yeah, you won't have a funny looking lip where the mustache was. Well, because the trailers, I mean, going back to the whole trailer stuff, because like where Alfred talks to Superman, like Superman shows up, they didn't put that in the final cut of the movie, but it's in the trailers. Right. So,
and we don't get to see Superman in his black outfit, which I love when Superman puts on that black outfit. I think that's so sick, the black with the gray symbol.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think Henry Cavill will ever come back as Superman?
I've heard he's in talks. Momoa
have anything to say about it?
But I mean, again, we're going back to rumors of who knows. But I've heard that he's been in talks, and there's. Mm. I thought there was confirmed on IMDb a project for him with Superman. Let me look it up, since Guillermo's not here.
It's one of those things, they can do it, and I feel like the streaming sites have helped, because DC is all over the HBO Plus, whatever it's called.
And it's HBO just, Max, yeah.
Yeah, Max, yeah. And it's making it so they're able to tie it in, because I love DC's very good about explaining, hey, there's different universes, so we're allowed to do this, and they can all converge if they want to. That's all the new 52 is. It's just 52 different portals to go. You know, it's what the CW did, which I thought was really smart, even though I don't like some of their shows, because it gets very high school drama. But
yeah,
they're able to, DC's able to use that. I mean, you know, Marvel's using it with the MCU stuff. The Phase 5 is half is on the streaming site.
Yes. I mean, and that's the beauty of DC, because they've always been very upfront about the multiverse. And, you know, especially when they started doing the movies and they had the shows and they got the two different versions of Flash. And I haven't actually watched, and this is a big spoiler, but I haven't actually watched a lot of the CW shows. I think I got like 3 or 4 seasons into most of them and kind of just haven't had a chance to catch up. The problem with so many streaming services, there's so much stuff to watch now, and I just don't have time to watch everything. But I have seen that one episode where they ended the crossover with the multiverse, flashes. And then like that, the flashes come together.
I really like that a lot.
And so I think it's been really good that they can do that. And they've like I said, they've been very upfront. Man, we've got the multiple universes, so they can always bring Ben Affleck back if he ever wants to.
Yeah.
They can have the two Supermen kind of do something together because they've got the TV show now. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Well, we don't want to take all your day. We know it's the work day in Australia, so we'll start to teeter this off. Do you have any final thoughts, comments, any words of wisdom for us?
Not really. I will say, going back to conventions a little bit. Once they're able to go back on, you should all go to conventions, because they're a really great place to live out your fandoms and live meet like-minded people. So yeah, and should do this again soon sometime.
And don't worry, Peter. You can book us anytime. We'll be on the first flight. It'll take us a year to get there. But
yeah,
he doesn't want us to come until COVID's under control, Johnny.
Yeah, get COVID under control, because what will happen in Australia if you come to Australia, you can. It's hard to get a flight to come in, but you have to spend 2 weeks in quarantine in a hotel before they let you in the general population.
2 weeks,
yeah.
2 weeks in Australia, no.
Oh, sitting in a hotel room for 2 weeks, eating room service. Yeah.
streaming movies all day. No.
Exactly.
Johnny and I would look like a new girl when they get stuck on the cruise if it was me and him in a hotel room for 2 weeks. I'm the sugar king.
I just finished watching. I'm up to like season 4 of New Girls. I literally started watching it over Christmas. So yeah,
the bromance on that with Nick and Schmidt is it's to me and Jay's heart.
That's awesome. Schmidt is the funniest character. I mean, they're just amazing, amazing.
Schmidt and Nick. I always tell people I'm a hybrid of both. I'm lazy yet I'm organized. So I'm a mix of Nick and Schmidt. Not the best parts of Nick and Schmidt, mind you, but I'm still. I make them. Someone pointed that out. They're like, that's not a good thing. And I was like, hey, let me have this.
No, we'll shoot you some stickers here, Peter. I know I've got some stamps that when my wife and I got married, my mom gave us like a book of stamps. Mm. That I didn't send out one thank you letter. It's so bad. I was in the middle of school at the time. I was like, we got married and I was right back into school like that next weekend or whatever. I was working too. And so I was like, oh, I'm going to send out these letters once the semester ends. And then I forgot. And so when we moved, we found the book of stamps and we're like, oh.
I knew I forgot to do something.
So I've literally just been sending certain followers stickers and stuff using those stamps. So we'll send you some... 3 postage notes to get to Australia. We'll send you some stickers for you and the kids. We've got some pretty cool decaled ones. I might even have a 3D print for you, depending on if I can get it fixed.
Awesome. Well, thanks for having me, guys. It's actually been a lot of fun. It's always fun to sit in there, because you could sit there for hours talking nerdy stuff. So,
and we do.
We'll have you back on when the Snyder cut comes back. And Zack Snyder's come back. And we can nerd out hard on just that.
Okay. Sounds good. Sounds like fun.
All right, Knights, we will see you on the flippity flop.